Hey, packaging peeps, it's Valio Matos on Package Design Unboxed. And today I want to share a presentation I gave to the Lithuanian Baltic Napa Design Conference. And at this conference, I wanted to really just focus in on the myths around sustainability. There's so many myths out there in terms of what is recyclable, what's not recyclable, what kind of materials you should use, what you shouldn't be using, where you should use them, how to use them. I mean, there's so many different things out there. There's so much information going every which direction. And I wanted to just give you a really quick actionable list of things that you can do when you're designing sustainable packaging. Now, whether you're at a brand or you're at an agency working for a brand, it doesn't really matter. You're always going to have to convince somebody to move in one direction or another. I want to give you the information, at least point you in the right direction to where you can get the right information, what questions you should ask, and how to move those ideas forward. So to not make the intro super long, you're going to get a bunch of information on sustainability. We're going to focus on the myths, and I think you're going to have some really actionable items here. Before we get to the show, I want to ask you to do me a favor. I'd love it if you could hop on to your Apple Podcasts, your Spotify, even go to packagedesignunbox.com. Leave a review, at the very least, rate this podcast. I'd really appreciate it if you do that. It helps me in the ratings, and it helps more people learn about packaging design and sustainability. So let's get to it. Here's the show.
What kinds of cardboard boxes?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
It loses its value if you take it out of the packaging.
Guys, thank you so much. I'm so appreciative to be here. I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning this morning to do a test run because I was so excited. So I'm glad to be here. Again, my name is Evelio Matos. I host a podcast, and I have a website called Package Design Unboxed. I've also designed packaging for the last 15 years. I work with brands like Google, Tesla, Tiffany. I was the editor-in-chief of the dieline.com packaging blog. So if you're familiar with the dieline.com, I was the editor-in-chief there. Now I really just focus on helping brands become more sustainable. So I know we've got 30 minutes, so I want to just jump right into it. But before we jump into it, I just want to tell you a quick story. Tom Zaki, he is the founder of TerraCycle and the founder of Loop, focuses really on sustainable packaging. One of the things that he said when I talked to him, when I asked what was sustainable packaging, he said the most sustainable packaging is packaging that has no net impact. And when you think about that, that means really no packaging, right? It doesn't impact anything on manufacturing. It doesn't impact anything on the decomposing side. So really trying to create packaging that doesn't even exist. So no packaging. So just a quick story on that. I was working with a large luxury brand, and I focus on luxury brands because they're the ones that set the trend. So I like working with those brands and, you know, tech brands as well. We were working on the launch of a new luxury product. It was a new purse, and it was a really big deal for this brand. It was a really high dollar value product for them. And then what they wanted was they wanted to provide a sense of luxury. And when it comes to packaging, it's really about the materials, the way the packaging sounds, the way the packaging feels, that gives you that sense of luxury, right? You cannot package a luxury product in a plastic shopping bag, right? It has to come in a paperboard. It has to sound a certain way. The handles have to feel a certain way. They can't just be cheap, because when you interact with packaging, if the packaging feels cheap, the product inside is going to feel cheap. With a luxury specifically, you can't communicate that. They wanted this packaging so that when consumers held the packaging, it would communicate prestige, right? There's romance in packaging, and they wanted to create this aspirational moment for the people that couldn't afford the product. I couldn't afford the product, but I can design for products that I can't afford. They wanted packaging that creates envy, right? And good packaging creates envy. And today we call envy FOMO, right? We call it fear of missing out. This was my opportunity to introduce this brand to a few new sustainable materials. Some new materials that were coming out of London, they were coming out of Northern Europe. They were really difficult to manufacture, but they were using a lot of recycled paper, a lot of recycled materials. They felt amazing. They looked amazing. And this brand was in the US, but they sold all over the world. The brand got really excited when I showed them these papers. One, because the papers were exclusive. Many brands were not using this paper because it was expensive paper and it felt really expensive. They loved it. And I was really excited because I was starting to feel like I was able to turn this brand into a more sustainable brand by showing them these new papers. Then they asked if we could laminate soft touch, which If you're not familiar with lamination, lamination is plastic. And soft touch feels kind of soapy. It's kind of smooth, but has a weird texture to it. They wanted to take this beautiful paper that was completely recyclable, and they wanted to laminate plastic because they loved the way that soft touch felt on the outside, and they wanted the inside of the bag to feel like the paper. And I said, no. I said, yes, we can, but I won't do it because it won't be recyclable. And in the US, all the companies have lawyers. They said, we're going to talk to our lawyers. And they came back and they said, no, we want you to laminate this packaging. And we want you to put the recycling symbol on the packaging. They had spoken to their lawyers. The plastic is recyclable. The paper is recyclable. When you combine the two, it's not recyclable. But legally, they could put the recycle symbol on it because the two materials were technically recyclable. So they wanted to almost trick the consumer into thinking that they were being more sustainable. So I flew to New York. I had a chance to fly to New York to meet with this customer. I had a face-to-face with their brand. I explained how combining those materials were just not going to make them recyclable. You couldn't separate the two materials. You could incinerate them, but you couldn't recycle them back into paper. And that I could not put that symbol on the packaging. And I refused to laminate the packaging with plastic. Then that month, they launched with the most sustainable packaging that they had ever produced. I felt like we had won, but the truth is that nobody won. No, I didn't fly to New York. I didn't fight the legal team. You know, I argued with them, but the legal team won. And what they actually ended up doing was they laminated this beautiful paper. They printed a recycling symbol on it, and they asked the consumers to please recycle the packaging, knowing that it was not recyclable. And I, at that point, and this was years ago, I realized that I had very little power to make a big difference as a designer. But it also taught me that sustainability isn't as important to the brands as they talk about it. It also taught me that the reason that it's not important to them is that the people at the brands, they don't know very much about sustainability. It's not their jobs. What I've learned is that sustainability comes from the manufacturers and from the suppliers, and that this is where the myths are born. The legal team had consulted with the manufacturer of the film lamination, and they were shown research and data that showed that their film was recyclable. They spoke to the paper manufacturer. They saw all of the data that showed that this paper was recyclable. It came with a lot of recycled content inside of it. The plastic manufacturer showed them certificates, showed them tests that proved that the film was recyclable. It wasn't the brand's job to question those certificates. It wasn't the brand's job to call the recycling centers around the world where their product was sold and ask them if they would accept packaging and recycle it that had paper and lamination on top of it. And just so that you know, recycling centers around the world will not recycle paper and plastic when they're bonded together. They may incinerate it for energy, but they will not recycle it back into paper, and they will not recycle it back into plastic. They downcycle it. And this is where the myths are born, right? From not asking the right questions from the right people. So since then, it's been my mission to really help brands and help designers and anybody that's really willing to listen. I talk to my mom about this all day long, and she doesn't care. She still thinks that you can recycle. Whatever you put in the bin gets recycled. Whatever you put in trash goes to trash. I can't convince her, and I know that this is how people are at brands as well. I really try to convince anybody that's willing to listen about sustainability and help challenge these myths. So anytime that I find myself not knowing the right answer, I ask. And this is the question I always ask myself is, how can designers help brands become more sustainable? It's what I do every day. And here's the points I try to make with my clients to help them understand and help them define what sustainability means. So there's a myth that packaging is important. You know, as designers, we win awards when we design packaging. I just won a Pent Award for designing some e-commerce packaging for a brand, and it was completely recyclable, used 100% post-consumer waste packaging paper in it. But the truth is that packaging is not important. As a designer, you have to learn that packaging, it's an art, but it's not as important as you want it to be. The brand is focused on the sale of the product. But once that packaging has done its job of selling the product, of arriving to the consumer's home, the packaging needs to be easy to dispose. It needs to be easy to break down, separate, and put into the recycling bin. And I'm not 100% familiar with the recycling system in Lithuania, but it's really important to call your, what we call in the US, a MRF, where they do the mechanical separation of products, where they do the collection, because before recycling, you have to separate. So it's really important to call the separating companies and find out what materials they're separating, because they're only going to separate what they can sell. Everything else that they can't sell, they throw away. So it's really important to have that call. People need to stop thinking about packaging as keepsake. There are companies out there that create beautiful packaging and it's not recycled, but they say it's a keepsake. You're going to keep this packaging forever. Apple, if you have an iPhone, you probably have an iPhone box and you will keep that for a long time because the brand considers that a keepsake, but it's laminated with plastic. There's inserts inside, there's different materials. You can't recycle that box. And at some point you're going to throw that box away. So on a long enough timeline, everything goes to the landfill. Everything becomes waste. The other myth is that recycling is circular. It's not. Yes, you can technically recycle paper and plastic bonded together. It's called incineration. They burn it, they turn it into energy, but it's not that circular image that you have in mind when you see these three arrows, right? You've got one arrow chasing the next and it keeps going and going and going forever. But once you take product out of existence, once you burn it, you can't reuse that product again. That paper does not become paper. That box does not become a box. Packaging does not become packaging. There's the other art, which is called downcycling. And that's when you take paper and plastic bonded together, or you take coffee cups that have a poly liner on the inside of it, or you've got food packaging that has wax on it. And that product has, it doesn't get recycled back into paper. It can get downcycled where it gets destroyed. It gets turned into glue. It gets turned into drywall, which is what we make our walls out of in construction. It gets turned into pavement. It becomes all these different things, but it doesn't become paper and packaging and be reused again. So again, it's not that circle. It can be turned and taken out of that loop and become something new. Well, these are the things that as a designer over time, you start to learn and you realize your plastic products can become these bricks. It can become roof tiles. It can become construction equipment. And once that material is done, when somebody remodels their home or they have damage and they replace that piece, that goes to landfill. So this idea of downcycling never brings that product back into the circular loop. It doesn't complete the circularity. It becomes linear and it goes to landfill. So you're creating packaging that will be recycled into something else, which is only a pit stop on the way to the landfill.
International Direct Packaging is the only factory direct packaging manufacturer with global showrooms. They design and produce packaging for established luxury brands. Because IDP's team of packaging experts design and manufacture packaging, you get a more transparent supply chain. You're also not going to be paying distributor markups. Find the nearest IDP showroom to schedule your first packaging consultation at idpdirect.com. Because IDP doesn't source factories, they are the factory. IDPdirect.com. Stay up to date with package design news. Join me, Evelio Matos, Corey Connors, and Adam Peek every Monday at 7:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on LinkedIn Live for the package design news. 15 minutes of the latest in packaging news. See you there.
Check out SpecRite, the number one platform for specification management. Not sure what board your box uses? Not sure how many colors or how much headspace your packaging requires? If you don't SpecRite, you'll guess wrong. SpecRite.com.
Next myth, plastic is good. And you may not have heard this myth. Many people have not, but many people have. And people feel that plastic is great because plastic is recyclable, or at least that all plastic is recyclable. And it's not. You know, packaging has changed. Food that came in cans and bottles and boxes now come in pouches. These pouches are plastic, but they're different layers and different types of plastic. And each of those is based on a different need or property for the food. You know, it needs to stay, it needs to keep the air out, reduce the oxygen, be able to transfer heat. It does all these different things. So they combine all these different plastics to create one pouch. Those pouches cannot be recycled because the separation company cannot separate the layers. So they can be incinerated, but again, that does not bring it back into the loop, or it just goes to landfill if the company that recycles in your particular region doesn't accept that. So again, it can't be recycled. So I had a plastic scientist on my podcast because I like to challenge people that I may or may not agree with. And one of the things about plastic is that it actually absorbs toxins. So it absorbs harmful chemicals. And I was asking about the plastic in the ocean and how much damage it's doing to the ocean, how much harm it does to the fish. And this plastic scientist, we were on Zoom like this, he was looking at me in my eyes and said, well, plastic absorbs chemicals. It takes out all of the horrible toxins. And if fish eat plastic, plastic actually absorbs all the harmful chemicals inside of these fish. And then when it passes through the fish are healthier. So plastic is good in the ocean. And it blew my mind. I could not believe that somebody would say this, somebody that works with companies and helps them make decisions. But I'd never heard that plastic was good in the ocean. The other myth is that plastic is bad, and it's not. So here I am telling you that it's not good, but it's also not bad. Plastic allows people in countries all over the world the ability to purchase food in smaller portions, helps keep food without refrigeration. In some countries that don't have refrigeration, allows them to keep food longer. It reduces spoilage and food waste. So those are all benefits of plastic. Plastic provides life-saving feats in the medical field. You know, I've got meshes in my body from injuries I've had over the years. Without plastic, I'd be a huge mess. But plastic isn't bad if you know the materials that you're using. If you're using packaging that's mono material, just one particular product, and you have to use the types of products that are being recycled. So again, call your local companies that do the separation. Say, if I send you a plastic number 4, will you be able to recycle it? Will you be happy if it arrives there? Or will you throw it in the landfill? If I send you a plastic number 5, what will you do with that? And if they say, well, we'll send it to the landfill, don't use that material, use something else. They probably recycle plastic 1 and plastic 2 because that's what the most of the world recycles. Everything else goes to landfill or gets incinerated. The truth is that plastic is neither good nor bad, but that plastic waste is bad. You know, we see it everywhere. The first two images are actually from Lithuania. The last image, I'm not sure. I think it's from India. But we have pictures just like this in the US. I can go four blocks from my house and I would see plastic waste like this. This is what's bad, right? This, all these combination materials degrade in nature. They break down, become microplastics, and do a lot of damage to our environment. Another myth is that reusable is the answer. It isn't. But a lot of brands are moving into reusable packaging. And there's a lot of great claims around there. You know, you can reuse this packaging multiple times. You can keep this packaging forever. You can refill it. All these wonderful things. It's not. If you think of packaging that you have at home, you know, how much of it do you reuse? If you have an iPhone box at home, you know, how often do you reuse it? When will you get rid of it? You know, there's a ton of, you know, we have milk jugs that can be reused, but we don't reuse. We, you know, we either throw them away or we try to have them recycled. If you've got fabric bags, at least in the US, when you walk into a store, they offer you a fabric bag that you can use. I have about 45 bags in my closet and I always forget to take one. So they give me a new one or I take all these back to the store. So reusable isn't always the right answer. So a lot of times brands want to try to do something sustainable and they'll select reusable packaging when really what they need to do is find packaging that's more recyclable. And for example, a fabric bag has to be used over 180 times, over 180 times before it equals the carbon footprint of one paper bag. So you have to really think about this and balance out those decisions that you're, if you're working with a brand or your agency is working with a brand or you're with a brand, make the right decision on those things. Don't go by how you feel. I know that cotton feels like it's a more sustainable product than paper or plastic. It may not be. So always asking those questions. And if you're working with large packaging, try to eliminate as much space as you possibly can in there. I always hear these customers that talk about they want to make their packaging reusable. You know, if it's for kids' product, they want to make their packaging part of the toy. They want people to cut things out and build something. Once you cut up packaging and you make it smaller and you build something, a kid may play with it, a child may play with it for a few minutes, maybe an hour, maybe two, and then it goes to landfill. Once you break up and cut up packaging into smaller pieces, they're too small to be recycled. So then it goes to landfill. That leaves me that the next myth is that size doesn't matter. Well, size does matter. It matters a lot. Packaging that's too small, packaging that's like this big, anything the size of your fist, is really difficult to recycle. At the recycling centers, there are screens. There are these discs that spin around that help move the packaging across the top of it to be recycled. Cardboard boxes float on top of these discs. Small items like this will fall in between. And when they fall in between, there's usually a collection system below those screens that takes it out to be collected for landfill. Anything that's too small will not be recycled. There's not enough material in here that makes sense to recycle because the companies are making money when they recycle. There's not enough material there for them to make any money for the effort that they're going to put into. So if you're designing small packaging, make sure that it's larger than your fist, because that's a good rule of thumb, is to make sure that your packaging is as big as your fist in order for it to not fall through the screen. If you've got to make packaging that's smaller than your fist, then try to use the most sustainable materials that use the most recycled content. Even if that means you're doing plastic, use a high post-consumer waste plastic. If it's paper, you know, don't coat it, don't put any types of laminations on it, so that if it does go to landfill, it can degrade, hopefully, at the landfill. If you're working with multiple packages for the same product line, then what you want to do is you want to make your packaging into dimensions, right? You want to make your small box half the size of your medium box, which is half the size of your large box, so that you can combine these things. And when you ship them, you can save space. The truth is that sustainable packaging is really confusing. And I'm not going to tell you that it's not, because it's super confusing. I've been doing this for years, and trying to explain this to customers gets more confusing every day, because there are new materials out there that the customers get excited about. I have to be the one to tell them, I'm glad you're excited about this new product that's made from corn and has all these claims, but it doesn't work in the recycling system that exists today. So 100% that product is going to go into the landfill. And if that's what you want, then that's fine, but you're not making a difference. You're not being sustainable. And I know that I've gone through a lot here in just a short amount of time. I try to cover as much ground as possible. But if there's one thing that you should walk away with from this conversation that we're having, is this: don't trust the data that you're given by suppliers, whether it's a supplier of packaging product or a supplier of a material. Do not trust them. And it's not because they are liars, but it's because they are trying to sell a product and they might not know the entire story. What you can trust is you can call the recycling center in your region, wherever it is that you're designing a product for. Call the recycling center, ask them, if this material arrives in your facility, will you be happy or will you be mad? Don't ask them if they can recycle it, because technically they can recycle anything. If you say, can you recycle this? Yes, of course we can recycle this. You have to ask them, will you recycle this? Will you make money on this? Because they'll be the first to tell you what they will not make money on, and what materials they do want to recycle. So they'll be able to help you choose the right material. Start with that. And that's a great position to start. You know, I advise you can listen to my podcast, Package Design Unboxed. I interview recycling facilities from around the world. I interview material scientists from around the world, as well as designers that design sustainable packaging. I've had the creative director of Burberry. I've had Matt Bogost from Think Packaging. If you're into packaging, you should know Matt Bogost. Pretty much everybody that you want to listen to. It's a good lesson in sustainable packaging. We get into really detailed things there. Now, if there's any questions about packaging, I'd love to answer them. And I think just before we get to the question and answer part, just the one question that I always get asked is, what is the most sustainable packaging? The most sustainable packaging is no packaging. And then the next question is always, well, if I have to make packaging, what's the most sustainable material? And that depends. So choose a material that's going to be produced near you, near the production of the packaging, a material that is recyclable and will be recycled back into a similar material. Do not choose a material that's going to be downcycled. Choose packaging manufacturing that's close to where your product is being made. So if your product is made in China, choose packaging made in China so that they can combine the two and ship it all in one. If you're making packaging made in India, if your product is made in India, make packaging in India. If you're making product in Lithuania, make your packaging in Lithuania. It's really important to do that. It doesn't matter if you're making packaging in India and your product is made in Lithuania, then you need to move one of those products. It doesn't matter what material you choose. Moving the two products independently creates so much waste. So if you're bringing a product from India and you're making product in Lithuania and you're combining them there, there's so much waste that comes in that supply chain. You want to combine those two. So really, the amount of waste that you're creating by moving product all over the place from two different areas, the amount of carbon emissions that you create really reduces the importance of what material you choose, because you're creating more waste already. Next question is, what about compostable packaging? No, compostable packaging, at least in the US, does not work. In Europe, Southern Europe does not work either. because there's no compostable packaging collection. Nobody collects it to compost it. I'm not familiar with Lithuania. If you do have facilities that compost your packaging that come to your house and collect it, or if everybody there has large areas that they can compost, but I doubt it because I think we all pretty much live the same. So I would say compostable packaging is a no. Then the next question is always, what about bioplastic? Nope, same thing. You're growing food in order to turn it into packaging. That's just silly. We have plenty of people on the planet that need to eat. So that's a no. What about biodegradable plastic? Nope, same thing. Biodegradable plastic doesn't degrade the way that we think. Biodegradable means, oh, it breaks down. Perfect. I can take my plastic, throw it outside, and it's going to degrade. It doesn't work that way. It only degrades under a specific environment that requires industrial composting equipment in order to break that product down. So if a brand says, what about biodegradable plastic? No, move on to the next product. All these alternative materials have no waste stream. There's no collection to properly collect them and dispose of them. They're actually not wanted by the recycling companies. So if you call up a company and say, I want to use compostable plastic for my packaging, they're going to say, no, if you do, don't send it here. Same thing with bioplastic, same thing with biodegradable. So make sure that you call these companies because they're going to tell you what makes the most sense, because those materials actually damage the recycling waste stream. I do want to thank you for the time. I'm out of time here for the presentation, but I do want to take questions. So if there are any questions, please let me know.
That's it for the show. Thanks so much for joining us on Package Design Unboxed. If you have any questions, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm always available for questions. Once again, check us out at PackageDesignUnboxed.com.